everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. We're back. You're listening to It's All About Food, and I think I've got my next guest right there, Ann Gentry. How are you doing?
Hey, Karen. I'm doing great.
Great.
Out here in sunny California.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm going to gush for a minute, so bear with me.
Okay.
I've been a fan of yours for a long time. My partner, Gary DeMattei, he's like devoured your cookbook, Real Food Daily. And we're in New York, but we love visiting your restaurants in California. And I've got a lot of things to talk about, but I just want to say cashew cheese. Your cashew cheese,
yes,
in
cashew
the vegan food daily recipe.
Cashew cheese.
Yeah, I mean, so many people have posted it, reused it, reinvigorated it, changed it, but yours was like the starting point for so many people, and I've made it many times, and I've made many variations, but I got to thank you for that. So my first question is, this cashew cheese recipe, did you base it on something else you had found a long time ago? How did you get started with cashew cheese?
Well, I think owning, an exclusively plant-based restaurant, which means, of course, a vegan cuisine, people wanted and were at, we started with a very simple menu 20 years ago. It certainly evolved over the two decades, and as it evolved, people wanted to mimic textures and flavors from, conventional American diet, and cheese is a big thing in the American diet. And so we started looking at that and realizing that, we already had it in the shows, believe it or not, minus the cheese in the early days. And so we knew that we had to figure out how to put a cheese together. And it's been so long, and it's gone through several evolutions how we really started the original recipe, but it's cashew-based, and the idea was to get it pourable so that we could pour it over the nachos and then put over other, main entrees, and now it's put on sandwiches and wraps, and people order up for the cashew cheese to embellish on top of the various different dishes that they've ordered. And it's pretty simple, even though it does require getting agar-agar, which is a sea vegetable derivative. Not everybody knows what that is. They don't know where to find it. It is a little costly, but it goes a long way. And you've got to have something hold that cheese together if you're not using animal byproducts.
Well, the whole cheese, vegan cheese technology has really gone nuts in the last few decades, especially most recently, where people are making real cheeses with enzymes, mm-hmm, and probiotics and aging them, and it's phenomenal. But for many of us, just to be able to make something that's pretty easy and so delicious like your cashew cheese, it's just a great, great thing.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay. And I want to talk about your new book, but I've been so in love with your old book that I just wanted to bring that up because, what's wonderful is that there are so many cookbooks out today that are promoting plant foods so deliciously, some of them better than others, and yours has just been a staple and a foundation of delicious, comforting, wonderful vegan food. And another favorite of mine that I like to make at parties is your ranch dressing from the Real Food Daily cookbook.
Yes.
And I've leaned on your book a number of times for special celebrations like Thanksgiving because, as I just mentioned, your recipes really tend to be comforting, kind of cozy, satisfying foods. So there you have it.
There you have it. Thank you. Yeah, I think what I've done really well is take, my Southern American upbringing and those kinds of comfort foods that I ate as a child, meat and two or three vegetables in that format. And my culinary training was learning how to cook through macrobiotics, which is a grain and vegetable-based diet, using a lot of Asian condiments, and that spoke very strongly to me. And then when I came to California, it was certainly taking advantage of just the incredible amount of organic produce they have here that's growing right here in this state and certainly locally here in Southern California. You know, I didn't think about it consciously at the time, but I certainly now look back and I realize it was those three points that came together as I developed the cuisine. That first I was cooking privately and then eventually I took that business into opening a restaurant. And, you know, to today we're still pretty much on that path and people still resonate very strongly with that.
Well, we have to...
That's what you can...
Yes.
Go ahead. Well, that's what you'll see in both my cookbooks. My first cookbook that you speak about, the Real Food Daily Cookbook, that is definitely the recipes from the restaurant put into home use. And then my second cookbook, which was originally titled Vegan Family Meals, we've just brought out this week into a paperback format, so it costs a little less, has a beautiful picture, print picture on the cover, but it's definitely the same content inside, and it is also a lot of the favorites from the restaurant, and in fact, I have the cheese in it as well. I know that I do, and we made a couple of tweaks to make it a little bit more accessible for the home cook, and it's a beautiful book, and it drives the principles that the restaurant is about and really talks to people about how it is accessible and possible, no matter where they live, to do this in their own home, and no matter at what level of cook they are. This, you know, I like to debunk the myth that this is a hard cuisine to cook. Not really. It just, you have to learn how to work with it so that you can bring flavor and texture to every dish that you make. Otherwise, people do get bored pretty quickly if they think it's just, you know, I'm cooking some vegetables and cooking a pot of brown rice. And you can see in this book, Real Food for Everyone, that we go way past that.
Mm-hmm. I'll say amen to that. There are some wonderful pictures in this book, the kind where you want to lick the pages. And you have a lovely tofu wrap, and there's just so many interesting looking, delicious looking things inside it. It's that give so much flavor. How long have the Real Food Daily restaurants been around? When did you open the first one?
Well, we're definitely a pioneer here in Southern California. The first one opened in Santa Monica, a beach community here in Los Angeles, in 1993. So we're into our 21st year of business.
Wow.
And still in the same location. We've expanded over the years in space-wise, and we have a second location in an area called West Hollywood, where West Hollywood, L.A., and Beverly Hills converge, and then we're in a community called Pasadena, California, which is sort of northeast of downtown L.A., and then a year ago, we opened out at LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, with just a small offshoot, more grab-and-go, quick service, and a food court in American Airlines.
I want to fly there just for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to all of your restaurants except the one in the airport. That's terrific. Woo! That's really exciting. I'll have to... whenever I'm flying different places, make that a stopover.
Thanks.
Just for eating. Okay, it's been 2 decades. Has the food changed at all in your life and in the restaurant's life?
Well, it's become more sophisticated, of course. When I started with a one-page menu, definitely more leaning toward my culinary experience of grains and vegetables, with plant proteins from, you know, high-quality soy products and, beans and legumes. And, you know, that has evolved as the years went by and great people came in and worked in the restaurant with me. Culinary people to, you know, contribute, but they contribute to the menu and our, you know, requests and demands and desires from our customer base. I mean, I've still got people eating with me 21 years later that are just completely committed to this lifestyle and this way of eating. And so, you know, the menu's gone from, you know, one little single page to, you know, much bigger production and more, you know, from soups and more appetizers and wraps, and we have an incredible veggie burger, a house-made veggie burger that we make, spicy lentil burger, and our seasonal specials. I mean, we've always had specials from day one. We used to do a different special every day. Now with three restaurants, we've honed that down to really working a couple of different specials each season, and which is great because it's going back to our roots of really working with what's growing seasonally and locally and presenting that to a customer base and educating people along the way about what that really means, because, you know, we do live in America and we can get anything at any time, and people sort of lose contact with what that really means, seasons and local and as well as organic. And I've certainly watched the whole, you know, 2 days. I've seen the trends come and go of what seems to be the theme. From when I opened 20 years ago, it was all about the fat-free craze, and we know that didn't work out for most people. Then the high protein came around back then. It was the Zone diet and Atkins. That's, you know, back around now with the paleo. So I've watched things, you know, go up and down and round, but in the end, you know, people come back to the fact of eating simply, eating as much plant-based as they can. You know, I get it. Many, many people are not going to do this in their lifetime, but people are moving more toward it more often in their life. They do know it is better for their health, better for the environment. You know, people are completely aware about, you know, how we inhumanely treat animals. That was not a big deal 20 years ago. Nobody was really educated about that at all. John Robbins came out with his first book, Diet for a New America, where that awareness started to come around in the early 90s when we opened and his book came out. And now, you know, people talk about that constantly, and there's much more awareness. And people are moved by it enough to go, I'll become a vegan, because this moves me so deeply. You know, my own personal, you know, I got into this, it was more health reasons. I just thought, oh, I'll feel better, I'll look better, this makes sense. But, you know, as it evolves for people, and what you need at one time in your life isn't necessarily what you need at another time in your life. And, you know, I always say that people are on a food journey, and it's how you go through that journey with, you know, grace and openness and surrender to what's right for you at this moment. Might not have been right 5 years ago, may not what you need, you know, on down the road. But coming back to vegetables, you know, our mother was right, our grandmother was right. Eat your vegetables. The more vegetables we can eat, the better.
Speaking of mother is right, you have children, young children.
I do.
How old are they now?
Almost 16, almost 12, so not really young anymore.
Yeah.
Bossing me around, telling me what to do.
But you've been feeding them for a long time. How do they respond to your food, and are there some special foods for them or things that are especially kid-friendly?
Well, sort of like what I just said, you know, they too are on a food journey. It is an evolution, you know, when they're babies and they're eating, you can totally control what they eat. And they're vegetables. And then they, you know, get out there in the world, they, you know, run into, you know, listen, it's tragic how we are feeding our children in this world today. It is tragic, and as a parent, I see that. I come across that every day, you know. So at least we've got a nice, healthy balance for our kids. They're eating really well at home. They're eating well through the restaurants we choose to go to. They're vegetarians. They understand what that's about. They're, you know, animal activists. They're environmentalists, and these young kids get that early on and resonate strongly for them, not just mine, but millions of other kids throughout this country. Are they always eating a healthy, balanced diet? No, not really. Not when you're out there in the world, somebody's, you know, shoving cheese pizza in your face for a snack. I grew up getting cheese pizza was an occasional treat, and it's in their life every day. And the, you know, just the sugar and the consumption of just, you know, poor quality. I mean, in fact, I was looking at something last night, and I was looking, I won't call any brand names, but I was looking at one of these, you know, frozen yogurt places, and there it was, you know, it's warm out here in Los Angeles, so the place packed at 8 o'clock last night. And I looked at all of that, and I thought, you know, this isn't even food. It is not food. It is just manufactured junk.
Yeah.
And that People love the experience, and there's something incredibly satisfying on some level, but there's nothing nutritionally enhancing about any of it. And what's scary for young people is, like, they're encountering that everywhere they go. You know, junk food is in every store. I mean, you go to the drugstore and it's at the checkout counter. You go to the Salvation Army and it's at the checkout counter. You go to a gas station and it's all about a convenience store.
I know, it's everywhere.
And it's buying food. Yeah.
What's a parent to do?
As a parent, you've got to be vigilant. I mean, you really do, and you got to try to educate along the way. You know, my kids got a big rap from me last night about the ills of that frozen yogurt.
but the
and
thing about
listening.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you mentioned yogurt, and I'd say, like, maybe in the 70s, we believed yogurt was a healthy food, and it started to grow in this country. People were eating more yogurt, thinking it's healthy, and people still think it's healthy, and they don't even realize that the stuff that's frozen yogurt isn't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And even if what it used to be was healthy, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Now, one of the things you mentioned in Real Food for Everyone in your introduction is making food at home.
Yeah.
And you're a restaurateur, and I know you want people to come into your restaurant, but you also encourage people to make food, and it is important, and that's one of the great reasons why we have your books, to know how to make some of these really comforting. I keep using the word comforting. I think that must come from your Southern background, because it really oozes out of your food.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is important that people learn how to cook at home. And, you know, sometimes I say it's a lost art, and I'm not sure if that's really true. I do mm-hmm. see that there is many, you know, I've got nephews that are late 20s, early 30s, and they have to cook. You know, and one's married, and he's doing a lot of the cooking, and his friends, I mean, they come together, just like I did in my, you know, 20s and 30s. You come together with your friends. You can't always afford to eat out. So you're putting your parties and your dinner parties and gatherings together, and it's about who can bring what. And that's fantastic. So, but I think we live in this fast-paced world, and I think that it's so easy and accessible to be fed by others. And there is nothing wrong with that, but there is something comforting and special and healing and fulfilling to be able to cook for yourself. Whether you have one member of your family because you're living alone, you're a young single person or an older single person and you're it, or, you know, you've got a family or family of friends or family of coworkers, how can you get in your own kitchen? A very soothing and meditative experience, especially after a hard day of work where you can come home, shift gears, put on the music, maybe you want to have a little wine or a beer or a mascara juice with turmeric in it, whatever your fancy is, and get in the kitchen. And you don't have to be in the kitchen for hours. Again, debunking the myth that vegan food takes so long to prepare and there's so much stuff to it. No, and I think moving away from, again, back to how I grew up with, oh, you have to have a protein and a couple of vegetables that are with every meal. Well, you don't. I mean, a bowl of soup and a nice thing of either grain, bread, and, you know, a couple of vegetables. You don't always have to have a protein at a meal, so you can keep it simple and satisfying and not spend hours. I mean, even when people are microwaving and or taking a lot of pre-made food from the deli counter, I mean, that takes 30 minutes or 45 minutes, so I really believe you can put a meal together in 30 to 45 to 60 minutes, and it'd be on a whole other level real satisfaction. And hey, you have leftover, you can eat that again the next day or 2 days later, or take it with you the next day, you know, lunch or school. So there's a lot of creative ways to keep, you know, putting food on your table. And I think it's important for people to go out and purchase food and go to farmers markets and go to the produce department of a grocery store. And, you know, where we live here in America, it is accessible. Vegetables, you know, even though those produce areas have gotten smaller and smaller in the big supermarkets, it's there. it's possible. And I'm a big advocate of, you know, purchasing organically grown produce. But if you can't, that's no, you know, that's no excuse not to purchase vegetables. Then get what you can get, what you can afford, and what's accessible to you in the area that you live. And get in your kitchen and start cooking.
Now, I've read your bio. I know you're involved in lots of different projects, and they all seem like full-time jobs to me, so I'm not quite sure how you pull it off. But you own a number of restaurants. You're a mom to teenagers, and you cook at home from time to time. You have worked with the Vegetarian Times magazine. Are you still doing that?
Yes, I'm the I don't know my title of Vegetarian Times magazine. Basically, I'm the executive chef, and I contribute, you know, recipes and articles, and they'll call me for, you know, different projects they're doing on. Great group of people. They're based out here in Southern California, started on the East Coast, and it is the big culinary magazine for vegetarian and vegan food, because it's really driven through recipes and education and information about, you know, these unique foods and art that aren't always commonplace to everybody. And yes, so let's see, what else do I do?
And you also you have a cooking show.
I have a cooking show on something called Varia, but I believe it's changed to Z Living. It runs on the Dish Network. I was just in my own local co-opportunity in Santa Monica about a week ago, and a gentleman in the produce department said, "Hey, don't I know you? Don't you have a show on Varia?" I was going to say like $1 million. And I said, yes, I do. So it's still running. It also has a big presence online. I did 56 episodes and, you know, focusing on what I know and, you know, vegan food. It's called Naturally Delicious with Ann Gentry. And, you know, the recipes show up. The recipes hold up. And, yeah, it was a very exciting time and full-scale production. Production values were very high, and the food looks beautiful, and it was a great time.
Good. I'm not on Dish Network, but I know I've seen a few clips of you online here and there, and it's all good. Yeah. And is there a way for people to find you other than buying your book? Can they follow you somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a big, you know, we have our own website, of course, realfood.com. And then we're on all social media, Twitter. I'm on Twitter as Ann Gentry. We're on it as Real Food Daily. Same for Facebook, Instagram. It's official RFD. And, you know, we have quite a following and quite a presence and have a lot of fun on it and keep people abreast of what we're doing in the restaurants out at LAX, what's happening in the world of food, this, you know, style of cuisine. You know, we like to, you know, keep the sort of educational component going because, and we see that, you know, people really gravitate toward that because people do want to understand what they eat. That's a very theme in today's world. Where did my food come from? What does this mean when I eat it? How does it make me feel? Do I want to eat it? You know, really people choosing what they want to eat and what they don't want to eat based on what they know about the food and where it comes from and what they believe of how it's really going to, you know, affect their health.
Well, thank you, Ann Gentry, for joining me on It's All About Food. I'm looking forward to getting to know Real Food for Everyone, as well as I've gotten to know the Real Food Daily Cookbook and devouring everything inside. And thanks for sticking with this for so long. Doing all that you're doing. So have a happy Valentine's Day to you and your family.
And yeah, we're doing a big Real Food Daily Valentine's meal, high-end four-course meal with wine pairings, and all of that's on our site for those of people who can't get to L.A. But, and again, every meal that we do, it's always encouraging people that, oh, this is possible. This is possible. So I hope everyone out there will definitely bring more vegetables and grains into their diet and make their own bodies and world a better place to be.
Well, that's a good way to end. This is possible. And this is possible thanks to Ann Gentry of Real Food Daily. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we've got a minute left. I'm Karen Hartkalesh. You're listening to It's All About Food, and I invite you again to visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's my nonprofit website. We have our brand new webisode out, episode 2, where we're talking about the soy story. And we have a great transition kitchen food show for you where we make vegan hollandaise. And then we have a nice little tribute to Millennium Restaurant. I mentioned that briefly before in the first part of the program. That's a wonderful restaurant that's been in San Francisco for a little over 20 years. And it was the first upscale vegan restaurant I had ever gone to, and it's always been amazing. And I had an opportunity to interview the chef, Eric Tucker, a few years back, and so we've included that interview in our recent episode of The Real Good News in Review, and that's The Real Good News. So thanks for joining me again for another hour, and I want to wish you a really love-filled Valentine's Day, and have a delicious week.